Brachos, Daf Gimel. Kasha de Rabbi Meir, Adi Rabbi Meir. Tre Tanai, Aliba de Rabbi Meir. There's a contradiction between one statement of Rabbi Meir and the other statement of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara responds, two Tanai, students of Rabbi Meir, express different opinions in accordance with Rabbi Meir's opinion. Kasha to Rabbi Eliezer, out of Rabbi Eliezer. So too, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer cited in the Mishnah contradicts the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer cited in the Braisa. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the time for reciting Shema begins with the emergence of stars, from the time when the Kohanim enter to partake of their Truma. While in the Braisa, he states that the time for the recitation of Shema begins when the day becomes sanctified on Leil Shabbat. Tre Tanai, Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, V'Ibai Sema, Reisha, Lav, Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara responds, there are two possible resolutions to the apparent contradiction in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Either two Tanaim expressed different opinions in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, or, if you wish, say instead that the first clause of the Mishnah, according to which we begin to recite the Shema when the Kohanim enter to partake of their Truma, is not actually Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Only the second half of the statement, until the end of the first watch, was stated by Rabbi Eliezer. Ad Sofa Ashmura. In the Mishnah, we learned that Rabbi Eliezer establishes that one may recite the evening Shema until the end of the first watch. These watches are mentioned in the Torah as segments of the night, but it must be established into precisely how many segments is the night divided, 3 or 4. Moreover, why does Rabbi Eliezer employ such inexact parameters rather than a more precise definition of time? According to Tosfos HaRosh. My kasavar Rabbi Eliezer, I kasavar shalosh mishmeros havei laila. Lema ad arba shalos. I kasavar arba mishmeros havei laila. Lema ad shalosh shalos. What does Rabbi Eliezer actually hold? If he holds that the night consists of 3 watches, let him say explicitly that one recites the evening Shema until the 4th hour. If he holds that the night consists of 4 watches, let him say explicitly until the 3rd hour. La'olam kasavar shalosh mishmeros havilayla. V'ha kamash malam. De'ika mishmeros barakia. De'ika mishmeros ba'ara. D'tanya. Rabbi Eliezer omer. Shalosh mishmaros havei halayla, v'al kol mishmar mishmar yoshev hakadosh baruch hu v'shoeg ka'ari, sheneamar Hashem mimarom yishag u'mimaon kodesho yiten kolo shaog yishag al navehu. The Gemara responds, actually, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the night consists of 3 watches, and he employs this particular language of watches in order to teach us there are watches in heaven and there are watches on earth. Just as our night is divided into watches, so too is the night in the upper worlds divided into watches. As it was taught in the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer says, the night consists of 3 watches, and over each and every watch, Hashem sits and roars like a lion in pain over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This imagery is derived from a reference in Tanakh, as it is stated, Hashem roars, Yishag, from up high, from his holy dwelling. He makes his voice heard. He roars mightily, Shaog Yishag, over his dwelling place. He cries out like those who tread grapes against the inhabitants of the earth. This is from Yirmiyahu, Perek Kafhei. The 3 instances of the root Shin, Aleph, Gimel in this verse correspond to the three watches of the night. V'siman ladavar, mishmer rishona chamor noer, shnia klavim tzoakim, shlishis tinok yonek mishdei imo, v'isha misaperes im ba'ala. And signs of the transition between each of these watches in the upper world can be sensed in this world. In the first watch, the donkey brays. In the second, dogs bark. And in the third, people begin to rise. A baby nurses from his mother, and a wife converses with her husband. My kachashiv, Rabbi Eliezer, I tchilas mishmeros kachashiv, tchilas mishmera rishona, simana lamali, urtahu, I sof mishmeros kachashiv, sof mishmera achrona, lamali simana, yamamo. With regard to these earthly manifestations of the three heavenly watches, as established in the Brisa, the Gemara asks, what did Rabbi Eliezer enumerate? If he enumerated the beginning of the watch, why do I need a sign for the beginning of the first watch? It is when evening begins. An additional sign would be superfluous. If he enumerated the end of the watches, why do I need a sign for the end of the last watch? It is when day begins. An additional sign is similarly superfluous. Ela chashiv sof mishmera rishona utchilas mishmera achrona ve'emtsayis de'emtsayisa ve'ibayisema kulu sof mishmera skachashiv techitema achrona lo tzarich. The Gemara answers, rather he enumerated the signs for the end of the first watch and the beginning of the last watch, both of which require a sign, as well as the middle of the middle watch. And if you wish, say instead, he enumerated the ends of all the watches. And if you say that a sign indicating the end of the final watch is unnecessary because it is day, nevertheless, that sign is useful. L'man nafkamina, l'mikri kriyashma, l'man digani b'bayis opel, v'lo yodas man kriyashma, famous. Kaven de Isha Misaparasim Bala, Vitinok Yonek Mishdeimo, Lakom Velikre. What is the practical ramification of this sign? It is relevant to one who recites Shema while lying in a dark house, who cannot see the dawn, and who does not know when the time for reciting Shema arrives. That person is provided with a sign that when a woman speaks with her husband and a baby nurses from his mother, the final watch of the night has ended, and he must rise and recite Shema. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav. Shalosh mishmeros havei halayla, ve'al kol mishmar u'mishmar, yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'sho'eg ka'ari, v'omer, oy li sheba avonu sehem hechrabti es besi, v'sarabti es echoli, v'higlisim lebein umos ha'olam. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel said in the name of Rav, the night consists of three watches, and over each and every watch, the Holy One, blessed be He, sits and roars like a lion, because the Beis Hamikdash service was connected to the changing of these watches, according to Tosfos HaRosh, and says, woe to me, that due to their sins, I destroyed my house, burned my Beis Hamikdash, and exiled them among the nations of the world. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yose, Pam achas ha'isi mahalich b'derech v'nichnasti l'churba achas n'churbos Yerushalayim v'hispalel. Bo el Yohu zohar l'tov v'shomar li al ha'pesach v'himtin li ad shesiyamti tfilosi. V'achas shesiyamti tfilosi, Amar li, Shalom alecha Rabbi, Ba'amarti lo, shalom alechi, Rabbi Umori. Ba'amar li, b'ni, mipnei ma nichnasta l'chor b'zo. Amarti lo, lihispalel. Ba'amar li, hayalacha lihispalel b'derech. Ba'amarti lo, misyari ha'yisi, shema yafsiku bi ovrei drachim. Ba'amar li, hayalacha lihispalel tfilak tzara. incidental to the mention of the elevated significance of the night watches, the Gemara cites a related story. It was taught in a brisa that Rabbi Yossi said, I was once walking along the road when I entered the ruins of an old abandoned building among the ruins of Jerusalem in order to pray. I noticed that Eliyahu, of blessed memory, came and guarded the entrance for me and waited at the entrance until I finished my prayer. When I finished praying and exited the ruin, Eliyahu said to me, deferentially, as one would address a rabbi, greeting to you, my rabbi. I answered him, greeting to you, my rabbi, my teacher. And Eliyahu said to me, my son, why did you enter this ruin? I said to him, in order to pray. And Eliyahu said to me, you should have prayed on the road. And I said to him, I was unable to pray along the road because I was afraid that I might be interrupted by travelers and would be unable to focus. Eliyahu said to me, you should have recited the abbreviated prayer instituted for such circumstances. Va'osah shah, lamadati mimenu shlosha dvarim. Lamadati she'ein nichnasin l'churba, v'lamadati she'mispalalin baderech, v'lamadati she'mispalal baderech, mispalal tefila k'tzara. Rabbi Yossi concluded, at that time, from that brief exchange, I learned from him three things. I learned that one may not enter a ruin, and I learned that one need not enter a building to pray, but he may pray along the road. And I learned that one who prays along the road recites an abbreviated prayer so that he may maintain his focus. V'amar li, b'ni, ma kol shamata b'chor b'zel? V'amarti lo, shamati baskol she menahemes keyona v'omeres, oi li lebanim sheba amarusem hecharavti as besi v'sarafti as hechali v'iglisim lebe nahumos. V'amar li, chayecha v'chaye roshecha. Lo shah zu bilvad omeres kach, ela b'kol yom v'yom, shalosh pe'amim omeres kach. Velo zu bilvad, ela b'shah shi Yisrael nichnasim labatik nisios, labatik midrashos, v'onin, yehesh me rabba, or rather, yehesh me hagadol mevorach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu menane rosho v'omer, ashrei ha-melech shemakal sinoso b'beis ho-kach, ma lo la'av shehigla et bono, v'oi lohem, and after this introduction, Eliyahu said to me, what voice did you hear in that ruin? I responded, I heard a heavenly voice, like an echo of that roar of Hashem, says the Maharshal, cooing like a dove and saying, woe to the children due to whose sins I destroyed my house, burned my Beis HaMikdash, and exiled them among the nations. And Eliyahu said to me, by your life and by your head, not only did that voice cry out in that moment, but it cries out three times each and every day. Moreover, any time that God's greatness is evoked, such as when Yisrael enters synagogues and study halls and answers in the Kaddish prayer, may his great name be blessed. The Holy One, blessed be he, shakes his head and said, probably nods his head, and says, happy is the king who is thus praised in his house. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, this praise was recited there, but not now. How great is the pain of the father who exiled his children, and woe to the children who are exiled from their father's table, as their pain only adds to that of their father. Rabbi Shem Tov Ibn Shaprut adds that. Tana Rabba. Mipnei shlosha dvarim ein nichnasin l'churba. Mipnei chashad, mipnei hamapolis, u'mipnei hamaziki. Mipnei hachshad v'tepuklei mishum mapolis. The sages taught, for three reasons, one may not enter a ruin. Because of suspicion of prostitution, because the ruin is liable to collapse, and because of demons. The three separate reasons seem extraneous, so the Gemara asks, why was the reason of suspicion necessary? Let this halacha be derived because of collapse. Gimel Amud Beis, Bechadati. The Gemara answers, this halacha applies even in a case of new sturdy ruins where there's no danger of collapse. Therefore, the reason because of suspicion is cited in order to warn one not to enter a new ruin as well. Betray. The Gemara continues to object, and let this halacha be derived because of demons. The Gemara answers, demons are only a threat to individuals. So because of demons, it would not apply to a case where two people enter a ruin together. E betray, chashav nami leka. Betray uprize. The Gemara objects, but if there's two people entering the ruin together, then there's no suspicion either. There is no prohibition against two men to be alone with a woman, as in that case, there is no suspicion of untoward behavior. Consequently, if two men enter a ruin together, there is no room for suspicion. The Gemara answers, if two individuals known to be immoral enter together, there is suspicion, even though there are two of them. Mipnei hamapolis, v'tepiklei mishum chashad umaziki. The Gemara considers why, because of collapse, is necessary. Let the prohibition be derived from suspicion and demons. Betray uksheri. The Gemara responds, there are times when this reason is necessary. For example, when two upstanding individuals enter a ruin together. Although there is neither concern of suspicion nor of demons, there does remain concern lest the ruin collapse. Mipnei hamazikim, v'tepiklei mipnei chashad umapolis. The Gemara considers the third reason, because of demons. Why is it necessary to include? Because of demons. Let the prohibition be derived from suspicion and collapse. B'chur b'chadati u'betrei u'ksheri. The Gemara responds, there are cases where this is the only concern. For example, where it is a new ruin into which two upstanding individuals enter, so there is neither concern lest it collapse, nor of suspicion, only maziki. E betray maziki namileka. The Gemara points out, however, that if there are two people, there is also no concern for demons. As such, the question remains, in what case can demons be the sole cause not to enter a ruin? V'mekoman hashinan v'ibay sema. The Gemara responds, generally speaking, two individuals need not be concerned about demons. But if they are in their place, a place known to be haunted by demons, see, for example, Yeshayahu, Perikid Gimel, Pasuk Kafal, then we are concerned about demons, even with two people. And if you wish, say instead. Actually, this refers to the case of an individual entering a new ruin located in a field. There is no suspicion of, since finding a woman in a field is uncommon, and since it is a new ruin, there is no danger of collapse. However, there is still the concern of demons. Tanu Rabban. Arba Mishmaros Have Halayla, Divrei Rebbe, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Shalosh. The sages taught in a Tosefta. The night is comprised of four watches. This is the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Nasan says, the night is comprised of three watches. My time is a Rabbi Nasan, Yichsiv, Hayavo Gidon, Umeya Ish, Asher Ito, Bikitse Hamachane, Rosh Ha'ashmores, Hatichona, Tana, Ein Tichona, Ella, Sheyesh Lefanah, Oleachareha. The Gemara explains, what is Rabbi Nassim's reasoning? As it is written, and Gidon and the 100 men who were with him came to the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, from Shoftim Perek Zayin. It was taught in the Tosefta, middle means nothing other than that there is one before it and one after it. From the fact that the verse refers to a middle watch, the fact that the night is comprised of three watches may be inferred. V'Rebbe, my tichona, achas mina tichona shebatichonos. And what does Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi say about this proof? Yir argues that it is inconclusive, as one could say, to what does the middle refer? It refers to one of the two middle watches. For Rabbi Nassan, mi ksiv tichona shebetichonos, tichona ksiv. And how would Rabbi Nassan respond? He would say, despite Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's objection, is one of the middle watches written in the verse? The middle watch is written. This indicates that the night is comprised of only three watches. My time made the Rebbe. Amar Rabbi Zarika, Amar Rabbi Ame, Amar Rabbi Yishuv and Levi. Kasev echad omer, chatzos laila, akum lahodos lach, al mishpatei tzivkecha. Kasev echad omer, kidmu enai ashmuros. Ha keitan, arba mishmuros, have halayla. What is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's reasoning? Rabbi Zarika said, the Rabbi Ami said, the Rabbi Yishuv and Levi said, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's opinion is based upon a comparison of two verses. One verse says, at midnight I rise to give thanks for your righteous laws, in Tehillim Kufyotes. And the other verse says, my eyes forestall the watches, that I will speak of your word, also Tehillim Kufyotes. Taken together, these verses indicate that their author, David HaMelech, rose at midnight, two watches before dawn, in order to study Torah. How is it possible to reconcile these two verses? Only if there are four watches in the night does one who rises two watches before dawn rise at midnight. Because the first verse said it was midnight, and the second verse said he had two more watches to go. For Rabbi Nassim, Sava Laki Rabbi Yeshua, Ditnan. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Shos, Shekein Derech Malachim La'amod B'Shalosh Shos, Sheis Delelia, Petati V'Yimam, Avalahu. Shtei Mishmaros. And how does Rabbi Nassan reconcile these two verses? He holds, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, where we learned in a Mishnah that Rabbi Yehoshua says, one is permitted to recite the morning Shema during the time when people rise, until the third hour of the day, as it is the custom of kings to rise during the third hour. Since it is customary for kings to rise during the third hour of the day, if David HaMelech rose at midnight, he would be awake for 6 hours of the night and 2 hours of the day, which amounts to two watches. 8 hours, which is 2 times 4 hours, 4 hours being the time of one watch. Therefore, David HaMelech could say that he forestalls the watches as he rose two watches before the rest of the kings in the world. Avashi Amar, Mishmara Upalga, Nami Mishmeros Karulu. Avashi said that the verses can be reconciled in accordance with Rabbi Nassan's opinion in another way. 1.5 watches are still called watches, in plural. Therefore, David HaMelech could rise at midnight, yet maintain that he forestalls the watches, meaning 1.5. 6 hours meaning 2 plus 4. Vamar Rabbi Zarika, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Levi, Ein Amar Bifnei Ameis, Ela Dvarav Shalmeis. Following this discussion, another halacha that Rabbi Zarika said, that Rabbi Ami said, that Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi said, is cited. Before the dead, one may speak only of matters relating to the dead. As speaking of other matters appears to be contemptuous of the deceased, underscoring that he is unable to talk while those around him can. Therefore, one must remain fully engaged in matters relating to him. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Lo Amar Nela B'Divrei Torah, Avomili Ha'ol, De'alma Leis Lanva. two traditions exist with regard to the details of this halacha in the name of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. According to one version, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana said, this halacha was only said with regard to matters of Torah. Speaking of other matters, however, is not prohibited, since no contempt is expressed for the deceased by the fact that he is unable to speak of these topics. The Igad Amri, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Lo Amar Nela, Afilu B'divrei Torah, the Kol Shekein Mili Li'alma. Others say another version of this halacha in the name of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. This halacha was said even with regard to matters of Torah, and all the more so with regard to other matters. If one must refrain from speaking of matters of Torah regarding that which one is commanded to speak, and limit himself to matters concerning the deceased, all the more so he should refrain from speaking of other matters regarding which one is not commanded to speak. V'davi b'thalga d'lelio havakai, me'urta havakai, diksiv, kidanti v'nechet, v'neshef, v'ashaveyam. Umumai d'hai neshef urta, diksiv, v'neshef, me'erev, yom, v'ishon, laila, v'afela. Incidental to the Gemara's mention of David HaMelech, other sources are cited that describe his actions. Regarding that which was cited above, that he would rise in the middle of the night in order to serve Hashem, the Gemara asks, did David HaMelech rise at midnight? He rose in the evening. As it is written, I rose with the Neshef and cried. I hoped for your word. From Tehillim Kuf Yotes. And how do we know that this Neshef is the evening? As it is written, in the Neshef, in the evening of the day, in the blackness of the night and the darkness. The Neshef, the Erev Yom, the Ishon Laila of the Apel. From Mishlei, Perek Zion. Apparently, David HaMelech did indeed rise when it was still evening. Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Amar Rabbi Yacha, Hachi to Amar David. Me'olam lo avar alai chatzos laila b'shem. The Gemara suggests several ways to resolve this contradiction. Rabbi Yoshaya said that Rabbi Acha said, David said as follows, midnight never passed me by in my sleep. Sometimes I fulfilled the verse, I rose with the Neshef and cried, but I always, at least, fulfilled the verse, at midnight I rise to give thanks for your righteous laws. Rabbi Zeir Amar, Ad chatzos lailo, hayem yisnam nim kasus, mikan ve'elach, hayem yisgaber ka'ari. Rav Ashi Amar, Ad chatzos lailo, hayem osik v'divrei Torah, mikan ve'elach, b'shiros v'tishbachos. Rabbi Zeir said, until midnight, David would doze like a horse, as a horse dozes, but never sleeps deeply. From midnight on, he would gain the strength of a lion. Rav Ashi said, until midnight he would study Torah. As it is written, I rose with the Neshef and cried, I hoped for your word. And from midnight on, he would engage in songs and praise. As it is written, at midnight I rise to give thanks. The Neshef or to whom? Ha, Neshef, Safru, Dirsiv, Vayakim David Meha Neshef, the Ara Erev, the Maharasan. My love, Mitzafra Vadlevia. To this point, the discussion has been based on the assumption that Neshef means evening. The Gemara asks, does Neshef really mean evening? Doesn't Neshef mean morning? As it is written, and David slew them from the Neshef until the evening of the next day. From Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed. The context being David HaMelech battling the Plishtim. Doesn't this verse mean that the morning, from morning until the night, in which which case neshek must mean mourning. Lo, me'urta ve'ad'urta. The Gemara responds, no, this verse means that David slew them not from morning to evening, but from one evening until the next evening. Ihachi lichto me'a neshek ve'ad'a neshek, o me'a ere ve'ad'a ere. The Gemara rejects this response. If so, evening to evening, so let the verse be written from neshef until neshef, or from erev until erev. Why would the verse employ two different terms for a single concept? Elo amarava, tre nishvi havu, neshaf lelia ve'asi yamama, neshaf yavama ve'asi lelia. Rather, Rava said, there are two times referred to as neshef, and the word can refer to either evening or morning. Neshef must be understood in accordance with its Aramaic root. The night moves past, neshaf, and the day arrives, and the day moves past, neshaf, and the night arrives, and the night arrives. The Dove mihava yada palga de lelia emas, ashta Moshe Rabbeinu hava yada, tichsiv kachatzov salad. Ani yotze betoch Mitzrayim. When King David said at midnight, I rise, the assumption is that he rose precisely at midnight. The Gemara asks, did David HaMelech know exactly when it was midnight? Even Moshe Rabbeinu did not know exactly when it was midnight. How do we know this about Moshe Rabbeinu? As it is written that he said to Paro, thus said Hashem, about midnight, I will go out into the midst of Egypt. From Shmos Perek Yud Aleph. The word about indicates that it was only an approximation. My kechatzos, ilem with the amon lekutcha brichu kechatzos miikas feka kameshmaya, ela the amor le bachatzos vaaseihu vaamar kechatzos alma mesakpa mesapkele. The David have a yada. The Gemara clarifies. What is the meaning of the expression about midnight? Did Moshe Rabbeinu say it, or did Hashem say it? If we say that Hashem said it himself, about midnight, is there a doubt before Hashem in heaven? Rather, this must be understood as follows. Hashem told Moshe, at midnight. From the fact that when Moshe came to Paro, he said, about midnight, apparently, Moshe was uncertain about the exact moment of midnight. Moshe, the greatest of all prophets, was uncertain. And David HaMelech knew? David Simana Havalei. The Amar Rav Acha Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Kinor Hayatoli Lemala Mimitoso Shel David, Kevin Shehigia Chatzos Laila, Ba Ruach Tzafonis, Ben Rosheves Bo, Umanagein Me'elah. V'yad haya omid ba'osik ba'torah, ad she'ala amur ha'shachar. Kevin she'ala amur ha'shachar, nichnesu chachmi Yisrael etzlo, omru lo adoneinu ha'melech. Amcha Yisrael tzrichin parnaso. Omru lehem, l'chu v'his parnasu zeh mizeh. Omru lo, ein ha'komets masbiya esahari, v'ein ha'bor mismalei michul yoso. Omru lehem, l'chu u'fishtu yedeichem bigdud. The Gemara offers several answers to this question. David had a sign indicating when it was midnight. As Rav Acha Bar Bizna said, that Rabbi Shimon Chasida said, a lyre hung over David's bed, and once midnight arrived, the northern midnight wind would come and cause the lyre to play on its own. David would immediately rise from his bed and study Torah until the first rays of dawn. Once dawn arrived, the sages of Israel entered to advise him with regard to the various concerns of the nation and the economy. They said to him, our master, the king, your nation requires sustenance. He said, go and sustain one another. Provide each other with whatever is lacking. The sages of Israel responded to him with a parable. A single handful of food does not satisfy a lion, and a pit will not be filled merely from the rain that falls directly into its mouth. But other water must be piped in, according to the Gaon. So too, the nation cannot sustain itself using its own resources. David HaMelech told them, go and take up arms with the troops in battle, in order to expand our borders and provide our people with the opportunity to earn a livelihood. Miyad Yotzim Ba'achitofel, Vimlachim B'Sanhedrin, Mashalim B'Urim B'Tumim. The sages immediately sought advice from Ahitophel in order to determine whether or not it was appropriate to go to war at that time and how they should conduct themselves. And they consult the Sanhedrin in order to receive the requisite license to wage a war under those circumstances, according to Tosfos HaRosh. And they ask the Urim B'Tumim whether or not they should go to war and whether or not they would be successful. Amar Rav Yosef, my crop, you see, the Achrei Achitofel, the Nayu ben Yoyada, the Eviatar, the Sar Tzeval, the Melech Yoav. Rav Yosef said, upon what verse is this Agada based? As it is written, and after Achitofel was Yehoyada ben Benayahu and Eviatar. Rather, Benayahu, the son of Yehoyada, and Eviatar, and the general of the king's army, Yoav. That's from Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Kaf Zayin. Achitofel ze yoetz. Vechein hu omer, ba'atzas achitofel asher yatz b'yamim ha'nim, ka'asher yishal ish b'dvar ha'elohim. The individuals named in this verse correspond with the roles in the Yegada as follows. Achitofel is the advisor, whose advice they sought first with regard to going to war. And so it says, now the counsel of Achitofel, which he counseled in those days, was as a man who inquires of the word of Hashem. So was the counsel of Achitofel, both with David HaMelech and with Avshalom. From Shmuel Bet, Perek Tesai. This ends Gimel Amud Beis.